Hello, this is Paige Hattie with CBM Connect and Mobius Institute, and I am here today with Rich Wurzbach. Rich founded MRG Labs in 2007 and is recognized as a global leader in grease analysis technology. Rich holds two U.S. patents and has helped develop several international standards for grease sampling and analysis. So welcome, Rich. How are you doing today?
Doing great, Paige. Thanks.
So, Rich, we're going to dive right in. One of your claims to fame is as the inventor of the grease thief, a mechanism that allows for collecting samples of grease for analysis. Most people who are trained in lubrication have no idea of the complexities of grease. What are the most basic components and how do these components vary from grease to grease?
Sure, Paige. So people are typically very familiar with oils and they understand oil being a base oil and some additives typically to give the oil the properties that it needs to perform in the machine it's being used in. Grease adds one more component to that mix, and that's the thickener. But that thickener is pretty substantial. It changes the way the lubricant behaves. And whereas oil can be thought of as a fluid or more as a liquid that will flow in a predictable way in response to gravity and has a viscosity that is related to its temperature, when you add that thickener, it changes the way grease moves. And its viscosity or apparent viscosity is now proportional to the shear force that is imparted on it. What that means is that grease will go from moving and flowing to being almost solid-like. And why we use grease is that it stays in place in the machine. We can rely on that grease once we apply it properly to stay where we want it to in the machine in contact with the bearings or other parts that need to be lubricated.
So you touched on this a little bit, Rich, but can you tell us a little bit more about what your method is for getting a good sample?
Sure. So with oil, the key is you go to the right place where it's in the live zone, where things are happening, where the oil is representative of what's going on in that machine. For grease, you have to extract that grease. You have to be able to take that sample from that location. You can't just open a valve and let it flow out like you can with oil, or you can't pull suction to get it to flow. With grease, you're going to have to grab that grease. You're going to have to core it, perhaps, or to purge it from the machine and then get that grease that's representative of what's going on as your sample. And that's what we do with the grease thief.
So then once you have the sample, what tests are performed and what information does that give you?
Sure. So the solution, the grease thief solution that does what I just spoke about, which is that coring of the grease, is a small syringe-like object. And it has a piston. It has a clear plastic body. And then we put a cap on that. It also has a handle that allows us to position that piston back and forth to get that representative sample. Now, when we want to take that sample and analyze it, we do a few things. One is that standard sample, which is about 1 gram, it's a very small quantity, can be placed into a ferromagnetic coil so that we can look at changes in the frequency of that coil to give a numerical value to the wear particles that are there. And it's a very kind of repeatable method that we use for that will be accurate, even though there might be some subtle variation in the grease. It's when we get an oil sample, we shake it up real good to evenly distribute the particles that are present all through the body of the oil. But as you can imagine, if you take a grease sample and shake it, not a whole lot's going to happen. It's all going to stay where it started. Therefore, we have to apply analysis techniques that don't get biased based off of those variations. And by taking the entire 1 gram sample and putting it into the field of this coil, we now get a representation of the total amount of ferrous wear that is present in the sample. Then we can do some other tests. We will take that grease thief, that piston and syringe-like arrangement, and we use that to force the grease back out through a defined flow channel, through an orifice, if you will, and through a flow channel that resists its movement. And we do that at varying speeds. Those varying speeds give us the variation in the shear that we need to uncover the difference in the properties of the grease. Remember, we said that grease is different from oil in that its viscosity is proportional to that shear rate. So we look at differences in shear rate and see if the grease's properties have changed, because what that'll tell us is, has this grease changed in a way where it's going to be more likely to leak out of the machine, or has it gotten real hard so it's no longer going to supply that oil and additives to protect the machine? So we have the wear condition, the ferrous wear. We've got the consistency that we measure through this extrusion process. We call that dye extrusion. And then as the grease comes out, it lands on a plastic substrate. It is a very thin film. It's only a millimeter thick. And then we can take that film and break it into different sections and do other analysis as well. And those tests include a full metals spectrum through spectroscopy. So we can look not only at the iron that's from wear, but we can also look at other metals like copper and lead and tin. We can look at the additives that are present. We can look at any contaminants that have shown up. We can also take, when that substrate is coming out, use a high resolution camera and do particle counting. And this is surprising to people. Folks are familiar with particle counting for oils and how important that is to understand the cleanliness of the oil. But now we've got a tool where we can look at the cleanliness of grease as well. And as you can imagine, a bearing doesn't care whether it's being lubricated with oil or grease. But if those particles are there, they'll do the same kind of damage. So it's important to also find the amount of particulate that might be present in the grease and make sure we're not putting dirty grease into the machines. The other tests that we can do include the ruler test, which is looking at the antioxidant concentration of the grease. And this really helps us optimize the life of the grease, right? So how often does someone re-grease a machine? Well, they'll do some calculations, or they'll say, well, once a quarter we pump some grease in or what have you. Well, by looking at the grease and seeing what is the health of it, what are the antioxidant levels, we can actually optimize that process. And we may find that the frequency that we're greasing is far too often, and we're just purging out grease that still has life left, or conversely, we're just not out there often enough and the grease is dying in the machine. So these are some of the tests that we can do with that grease.
Very interesting. So changing gears a bit now, Rich, tell me about some of your favorite success stories that you've been involved in, maybe your top one or two.
Yeah, so we were very fortunate to be approached by some folks in the Danish wind industry in Europe, in Denmark, who were very interested in understanding the substantial investments they were making in developing wind power in that part of the world. And so being able to tie in with people who understood the equipment, understood some of the challenges in taking samples, especially in these offshore wind turbines, gave us some real good insight there. And we kind of spread that knowledge around, including here in North America, where one of the operators of wind turbines in the United States came to us and presented some samples and said, we would really like to try to understand this technology. So we went, they took the grease thief to a wind farm. They looked at 30 different wind turbines, and out of them, one of them stood out from the rest. It had a much higher wear level, and you could see the grease was degrading. So the operator there made the decision, a pretty bold decision, to shut down that wind turbine, to bring a crane in, and to take down that bearing to inspect it. And what they found was a bearing that was in advanced stages of failure. Now, if it had failed catastrophically, that would have cost about five times the amount that it did from being able to predict it in advance. And the impact to the downtime of electric production was substantially reduced.
I'd love to hear about what sort of changes you foresee in the field over the next few years.
Sure. So my history goes back to when I started in the nuclear power field in 1989. And at that time, I was brought on, fresh out of school, to build a laboratory, a full laboratory inside the power plant to do our oil and grease analysis, mostly oil analysis at that time. And over the next 10 years, that's exactly what we did. But then towards the tail end of that time period, as we got into the 1990s, we saw more centralization of the oil analysis function. We saw more consolidation of laboratories, and a lot of folks shifting to a model where they were sending samples off. So not really having the capabilities on site anymore, but taking the samples and sending them to central laboratories, commercial laboratories. What I see happening now is a shift back in the other direction. So a bit of a pendulum swing here where folks are looking at gaining some of these capabilities on site. And what that means is what we might call more of a mini lab model, where the operators, the plant operators, it could be wind farms, it could be power plants, it could be food production, it could be cement, mines, steel, what have you. They're buying some of these key components and bringing them on site. Now, it's not a full-blown laboratory, but it allows them to screen through a lot of samples and get feedback very quickly, build some expertise in-house to understand what's going on. And then when there's an outlier condition, they can take those samples and then send them out. And this is really developing quite nicely in the area of oil analysis. And there's some things being done here for greases as well. But another big part of this is consolidation of expertise. And that comes through data exchange, data analytics, predictive analytics, which are being enabled by sharing large quantities of data, looking for patterns, and helping people, even who are just starting out doing oil analysis or grease analysis, to benefit from all the folks who have come before and done this and have seen these patterns, have toured the parts apart, the machines, and see what happens inside when you see these indications. So I think that's where things are really headed in this industry.
Now, before we end our time together, Rich, I have to ask about the farm that you owned and worked on while you were growing up. Please tell me more about it.
Well, so the growing up part starts a little later. I actually grew up in the city, and so did my dad. But as I got into high school, he started looking for a place out in the country. And about the time I graduated, I was able to move to a farm. And so started the first half of my life in the city. But now I'm a farm guy, and I've raised my family on the farm, and my parents live there as well. And we raise cattle. We raise Scottish Highland cattle, which is a beef breed. We also grow hay. And it's exciting now that my daughters are involved in that with me. And it's just a great experience, a great way to be growing up now. And it just adds another dimension to what I do on a day-to-day basis. But one of the things I'm able to do, of course, is to take samples from my farm equipment, bring them to the laboratory. Oh. And I got some of the best running farm equipment out there. So I'm able to put into practice what I preach.
Well, that's awesome, Rich. Do you think your daughters are going to keep that legacy going?
Well, my oldest is transferring to an agriculture program at Penn State. So she's heading in the right direction for that. Yes.
Rich, thank you so much for connecting with us today. And I'm sure we'd love to sit down with you and catch up with you again in the future.